You're in tune to the Voice of the Valley, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota, 1260 AM and 105.7 FM, as well as 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. It's 10:41 AM here on this Wednesday, September 20th. I'm Cameron Heron, and it's time for the Valley Talk program. And I'm joined today by a very special guest. It's Jasmine Wongen. How are you doing, Jasmine?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me on this morning.
Yep, of course. And why don't you let the listeners know kind of what you do?
Yeah, so I work for Safe Kids Grand Forks. We cover unintentional or preventable injuries. And even though we're called Safe Kids Grand Forks, we cover a big area of northeast North Dakota and northwest Minnesota. So we are in Crookston and the surrounding communities quite often. But preventable injuries are things that we kind of say you don't know what you don't know sometimes. And so there's lots of different things that can fall underneath that umbrella of preventable or those unintentional injuries. And when we look at all of the things that children can die from or be injured from, unintentional injuries is the biggest chunk of that. And then when we look at all the different unintentional injuries, and there's like 25 different topics that easily fall underneath that category, motor vehicle crashes is the biggest chunk of what we're seeing those injuries come from.
Yeah.
And so where we spend a lot of our time is in child passenger safety. So making sure while we maybe can't prevent those vehicle crashes from happening, can we help keep the people in the car safer?
Yeah, and one thing's for sure, whenever Karma Hansen is on Valley Talk, like I feel like I even learned things that I didn't know. So it's these Valley Talks are definitely some of the more important ones to inform the community about ways to keep their children safe.
Yeah, so while we talk about car seats kind of all year round because it's always relevant, this week is actually Child Passenger Safety Week. So it's a week that kind of across the nation, we really push that information about keeping kids safe in the car. And one of the things that we do with that is we do extra social media posts. We have extra car seat checkup events. And then actually this Saturday is what's called Seat Check Saturday. So they encourage Safe Kids coalitions and people that are car seat technicians to do car seat checks, like really push them for that day to see how many car seats can we get checked. And to be a car seat technician, it's actually a four-day class that you have to go through. I'm one of three instructors that we have in kind of the Grand Forks area because there's so much to know about car seats, and there's about 250 different models of car seats on the market, and they all have different things that you can and can't do with them. So making sure that you have the correct information about the right car seat is really important. And we see about 4 out of 5 car seats are used incorrectly in some way. And it's not just one or two things that are being done wrong. Unfortunately, there's lots of different things that you can do wrong with car seats. So getting your car seat checked, even if you think you have it incorrectly, is always a good thing. Or maybe you got the car seat checked when baby was born or, you know, a year or two ago. Those kids are growing. That we want to help make sure that the adjustments are being made to that car seat as they're getting bigger. One event that we have coming up is on the Seat Check Saturday, September 23rd. It's actually in East Grand Forks, so just a little bit of a drive for Crookston families. But the nice part about this one is it's going to be at the Patch on the Point, the Pumpkin Patch in East Grand Forks. And anybody that gets their car seat checked on that day between 1 and 4 is actually going to get a half-price admission ticket for each of those car seats or booster seats that we check. So as we're kind of getting into that, you know, harvest season and you're thinking about pumpkin patches, this is a great way to save a few dollars, make sure your kids are riding safe, and it looks like we'll have some decent weather to be out at that pumpkin patch also. If that day doesn't work for you, we do hold car seat checkup events in Crookston at Brose Chevrolet quarterly. So our next one coming up there at Brose will be October 26th. We do offer those by appointment between 4 and 5:30 p.m., and Joanne Munter at Polk County Public Health usually helps us cover those and takes the appointments for those. So you can contact Polk County Public Health there in Crookston to set up an appointment for that October 26th car seat checkup.
That's good that there's an event like that that'll hopefully draw a lot of people. And I wanted to ask you, like you mentioned about how people are incorrectly putting the car seats. Like, what are some of the biggest parts that they mess up when it comes to making sure that the car seat is correctly put in there?
So one thing that I think our area is really good at is rear-facing as long as possible. We want to keep kids rear-facing until at least 2 years of age, or really, you know, closer to three or further past that, as long as they fit in their car seat by height and weight. We know that most car crashes are frontal. So when that vehicle is driving forward and it hits something, that vehicle stops, but everything in the car wants to keep moving forward. When that child is rear-facing in the car, their back pushes into the back of the car seat, and that car seat almost works as like a spine board or backboard, and it takes all that force so that the child doesn't really get injuries from that, that they're just pushing against that car seat. When we turn that child forward-facing, they're going to want to pull away from their car seat in that same crash, kind of like if we're in that crash and we're buckled in, that seatbelt holds us in place, but our body still moves forward and our head moves forward. And little kids have really big heads compared to the rest of their body. That's a lot of weight on an underdeveloped spine, that we see lots of head, neck, and spine injuries when kids are forward-facing too soon in a crash. So we do a really good job rear-facing as long as possible. Where we see misuse happening more often is the way car seats are installed. So you can use either the seatbelt or something that's a part of the car seat that's called the latch system. Latch stands for lower anchors and tethers for children. So two different ways to install the car seat. We want to use one or the other, not both. They're equally as safe as long as we're using them correctly. The problem that we see sometimes is that lower anchors, the vehicle manufacturers only have to put the hooks that those go onto in two seating positions in the car. So sometimes people are putting it maybe in the middle where they're just using one of each of those anchors from an outboard spot, and so it's not designed to be in that position. The other downfall to those lower anchors that a lot of families aren't aware of is that those lower anchors have weight limits. In a crash, those can only hold 65 pounds, but that includes the weight of our car seat. And some of these bigger car seats, families can probably agree that they get really big and heavy, that we can have even a 25-pound car seat. So usually when kids are around 40 pounds, they're going to outgrow what those lower anchor hooks can hold, and we're going to need to switch to the seatbelt to install that car seat. Another thing that we often see is when kids are forward-facing, we want their harness straps to be level or just above their shoulders. So when parents first get those car seats, they might have those straps in the right spot. But as those kids grow, we need to make sure that we're constantly moving those up. Making sure that those straps are nice and tight against their body is going to be important. And then not moving kids too soon to other stages. So we're good about keeping them rear facing as long as possible. We also want to keep them harnessed as long as possible, as long as they fit in that harness by height and weight. Because as soon as we take them out of that car seat and move them into a booster seat, we've gone from a 5-point harness to a 3-point harness. So we're only spreading those crash forces over three parts of their body. And there's still misuse that we see with booster seats also. That lap belt needs to sit underneath the armrests that booster seat comes with, because that actually helps hold that lap belt nice and low down on their hips, and so it's not riding up on their stomach. Making sure that shoulder belt's going nicely across their shoulder and not sitting up at their neck, that there's a belt guide for that. And then what we see often is kids moving out of that booster seat too soon. In Minnesota, the state law is that children don't legally need to be in a booster seat after the age of 8. But really, we're looking at how they fit in that adult seatbelt, because that seatbelt, we want to make sure it's fitting them the right way in case they're in a crash. And you might have a really tall 8, 9, or even 10-year-old, but really until those kids are closer to 13 years old, their bones aren't going to be strong enough. Mm-hmm. So kind of looking at do they fit in that adult seatbelt, keeping them in the back seat is going to be important also. And when we're looking at moving out of a booster seat, we go more so by height, which is 4 feet 9 inches tall, for when they're going to fit in that adult seatbelt without needing a booster seat. And we kind of do a test with them to make sure, you know, legs are the right length, so that feet are flat on the floor, that their torso is the right height, that seatbelt's sitting on them the right way. When we look at a growth chart for our average child, most kids aren't getting to that 4 feet 9 inches tall until closer to 10 or 12 years of age. So we always encourage families, don't be in a hurry to move them out of the booster seat. In the front seat, we want to wait to put kids up there until they're at least 13 years old, when their bones are nice and strong and developed and can withstand what might happen if that airbag goes off.
One thing I will say is, like, I think sometimes, like, maybe for the kids there can maybe be like a bit of a stigma sometimes with like being in a booster seat too long. How do you think like parents should deal with that and maybe talk to their kids about that?
Yeah, I actually have an 11-year-old who just got out of his booster seat about a week ago. So definitely get that stigma that, you know, none of his friends are still in a booster seat. And that's tough because kids, you know, look at what their friends do. Encouraging those kids that, you know, we're going to do what's going to be safest for our family. Because if we're in a crash, I want you to be as safe as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're able to talk to some of those other families, or if you're carpooling, say, you know, here's the booster seat for my child for you to use. When other kids get into my car, they kind of know, you know, I'm the car seat lady. And while they might not use a booster seat in their car, they know when they hop into mine that that's something they're going to have to do. Something else that you can look at is if you have a vehicle with maybe three rows, those kids might fit better in that third row because it's going to be a little bit smaller seats and their feet might be closer to hitting the floor. And so that's something that we did with my son is when he rode with friends, you know, they always went to that very back row where they fit a little bit better when it was just us in the car and we needed that extra cargo space and those seats were folded down, then it was booster seat in the other row. And just really having that conversation with kids that this is what's going to be safest for you when you ride in the car, you use your booster seat, just like the adults buckle up in the car. You know, same thing with helmets. You're riding a bike or roller skates, but we're going to wear a helmet. My son, I like to equate it to you play hockey, you play baseball. There's safety measures that you have to do when you're doing those sports and they're non-negotiable. It's the same thing when you're in the car. We're going to keep you as safe as possible because we never know when a crash is going to happen. Mm-hmm. We don't get in the car and say, all right, make sure you use your booster seat today. Make sure you buckle up the right way because today we're going to get in a crash. I mean, nobody says that. If we knew we were going to get in a crash, we wouldn't get in the car that day, right? So we just always need to be prepared and the best, as safe as possible.
And of course, we know that, you know, vehicle accidents are one of the leading causes of death just in America in general. So it's, you know, obviously, for the most part, it's a fairly safe form of travel because of how many people use their vehicle to get from point A to point B. But there is always that risk that it will happen with as many people as there are on the road. So to have those safety measures in place is definitely important.
Right. And there's a coalition group in Minnesota called TZD. It stands for Towards Zero Deaths. There's a Polk County group, and there's lots of active different groups around the area. And their goal is to get the number of deaths on roadways down to zero. It's a long goal. There's lots of different people involved from traffic enforcement to engineers on how do we make those roads safer. We serve on those committees as the education portion, making sure people are buckled up and using those seat belts and car seats correctly. Their goal for 2025 is to have the deaths down to around 200 deaths in Minnesota on the roadways. When you think about that, that's kind of a morbid thing to think about, that 200 people is our goal to lose in the state just on roads alone, that yes, we want to get that down to zero, but whose family members are we losing to get to that number, that we should always think about, you know, doing things as safe as possible so that isn't our family that we're losing.
Do you know what the numbers have been these last few years?
I believe last year it was around 440.
Wow. Yeah, that's probably maybe about as many as you'd expect. But at the same time, it's just like when you hear that number, you're like, man, that is a lot.
Right, and that's just one state. That's not across the nation. And yeah, absolutely.
So, again, anyone who's just tuning in the middle of this, we have Jasmine Wongen of Safe Kids Grand Forks talking about National Child Passenger Safety Week, talking about all the types of stuff to help your child be safe as a passenger in a vehicle. Were there any other parts that you wanted to chat about with that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, you know, with a 90-degree day we had yesterday, it doesn't seem to make much sense, but winter and fall are coming. But thinking about as it's getting colder, making sure how do we keep those kids safe and warm in the car? When we as adults are in a seatbelt, and if we're in a crash, that seatbelt kind of, you know, sucks up and pulls us into the seat. kind of like, you know, if you try to lean over to grab something off the floor and the seatbelt sticks, that's that seatbelt kind of working in an emergency situation. When kids are harnessed in their car seat, we pull that harness to a certain tightness, and in a crash, nothing changes on that. What we need to think about with the winter months is if we've got kids in snowsuits, in big puffy coats, think even Halloween, big puffy Halloween costumes. If we're in a crash, the tightness of those straps isn't going to change, but if we've got a lot of extra padding between that child and the harness, that fluff is going to compress in a crash, making those straps not as tight as they need to be. And in a crash, our goal is for that child to move in that car seat as little as possible because we don't want to increase the momentum and cause more internal injury. So what we say for kids in car seats, whether they're rear or forward facing, is strap before you wrap. So buckle them in, really in nothing thicker than like a lightweight fleece outfit or like a fall coat, sweatshirt. And then we can put layers over the top of that. So in the winter when they're outside playing and we're running to and from the car, we can warm that car up ahead of time and take that coat off, buckle them in, and then put the coat on their arms backwards or lay it over their lap. That's going to be a much safer way for them to ride. Another cool thing that's been around for a number of years now is called a car seat poncho. So you would wear that fall fleece coat, you wouldn't running to and from the stores, and then this poncho is essentially, you know, a big, it's a poncho. It's fleece with the spot cut in it for their head. Some of them have a little hood on it, that it's going to keep them nice and warm as they're going to and from the car. And then when they get in the car seat, you lift the back part of that poncho up over the top of the car seat. You move the front out of the way so that you can get that harness buckled nice and snug, and then that lays over their lap as a blanket. So that's a great option to keep those kids warm also.
Very nice.
If you have... If you have any questions... about car seats, you know, about if something's okay to use for winter, Polk County Public Health has a car technician on staff. You can always call our office at Safe Kids Grand Forks. We're a part of the Altru Health System, so you could always call Altru's main number and be asked to be transferred to Safe Kids also.
Yeah, that's a lot of good info here today, Jasmine. Do we kind of want to, as we have a couple minutes left, do we want to recap a couple of the events that you were kind of talking about earlier in the show?
Yeah. Yep, so the one coming up this Saturday for Seat Check Saturday is in East Grand Forks at Patch on the Point. It's going to be from 1 to 4 p.m. Every car seat and booster seat that you get checked, you'll get a half-price admission ticket that's good for that day for Patch on the Point. If you can't make it to that, our next event that's going to be in Crookston will be October 26th at Brough Chevrolet. Those are by appointment, so you can call Polk County Public Health, and they'll schedule in a time between 4 to 5:30. If neither of those work for you, you can always check out our Facebook page or our website for Safe Kids Grand Forks. The website is safekidsgf.com, and we'll have a list of events that are coming up in different areas. Especially in the summer months, we travel to many different communities. So while you maybe aren't right in the Crookston area, we were just in Manoman and Ada and Halstead and lots of different areas. So we can always let you know if we have something coming up that might be closer to you or when our next car seat checkup events in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks would be also.
Yep, I think a lot of people are going to be very interested in those events and definitely a place where they can learn a lot of valuable things. Any last second comments before we wrap it up here?
We just encourage everybody, even if you think your car seats are used correctly or booster seats, to get them checked. And that reminder that 4 out of 5 are used incorrectly in some way. So just to have that peace of mind, have those expert car seat technicians give you that stamp of approval that everything looks good.
Even if you think you're the one, it doesn't hurt to check.
Absolutely.
For sure. Well, thank you very much, Jasmine. Thank you for coming on Valley Talk, and you have a great day.
And thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So that was your Valley Talk program here on this Wednesday, September 20th.